Chapter 31. Amanda. There were two ways of tracking down Naomi, neither of them easy. The first was the most obvious. If Naomi wanted the man she had called Quinn dead, then there must be a connection, maybe a close connection. And because of that, she could not be the one to kill him. Before he attacked Amanda, he'd asked who had sent her. Naomi had history with this man. The police would automatically think her a suspect. So maybe part of what Naomi had told her was probably true. Amanda thought this made sense. To find out the connection, she first had to find out the man's real identity. That would take her one step closer to Naomi. She scanned her phone for all the news alerts she could find on the story. None of them revealed the identity of the man in ICU who'd had an axe removed from his chest. No point going to the hospital either. There might be a cop posted on the ward to protect the man in case his attacker returned to finish the job. And if she went near the hospital, she put herself at risk of an earlier arrest. Her arrest would come. She was certain of it. When the man woke, he would provide a description to the police. And then, of course, they'd probably find her DNA somewhere at that messy scene. It wasn't a question of if she was going to be arrested for attempted murder. It was when. And once that moment came, she wanted to be ready with the truth. That someone else had put her up to this and forced her into that situation. Plus, she had wanted to leave, but the man had attacked her. It was self-defense. That had to count for something. But it would count for nothing if she didn't have evidence to back it up. And yet she couldn't get too close to the man she had to investigate. Not at the hospital, anyway. No, she couldn't track him that way. It was too dangerous. There was an alternative, a second way to trace Naomi that didn't involve the man she had called Quinn. Through Matt and the counseling group. Naomi would have had to show Matt her ID, maybe, like Amanda had. He would know who she really is. He would have files, records. Amanda sat at a corner table in a deli on Lexington and 33rd, her grilled cheese half eaten and going cold in front of her as she watched the front door. Checking the time on her phone, she calculated Matt was running almost a half hour late. Not late enough to give her pause, although if he didn't show in the next 5 minutes, she would beat it. It was almost 1:30 in the afternoon. The city was busier than ever, holiday traffic. Tomorrow, the cars would leave the city for Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. No new text messages from Matt. The last one said he would come meet her. Amanda had texted him to say she was very low and having dark thoughts, and could he spare an hour to talk? He texted back saying he could, although this was unusual, and he didn't normally see anyone out of the group hours. He said he would make an exception this one time. Amanda looked up from her phone as Matt walked into the deli. He wore a long, thick scarf, which he had wrapped around his neck half a dozen times, a fleece-lined denim jacket and jeans. He carried an umbrella, even though it wasn't raining. Matt was the type of guy who was prepared for most things. She waved and he waved back as he made his way through the rows of tables to the corner.
"How are you?"
he asked. "Not great. Thanks for seeing me," she said. He stretched out of his jacket, then unraveled his scarf. It was warm in the deli and cold outside. His glasses had misted in the heat. He took them off and placed them on the table.
"Some people struggle to open up in a group. I understand that. But you've got to try. I'm supposed to give a report to your probation officer after 8 sessions. It would be good to tell them that you participated."
Amanda nodded, said, "That's why I contacted you. I want to open up, but I'm having some problems with Wendy. She and I have been talking outside of the group. She can be a little scary sometimes. Maybe it's just her bullshit, but I don't think I could go back to group if she's there." Just then, the waitress arrived. Matt ordered a tuna sandwich on rye, and Amanda took a coffee refill.
"Look, I don't encourage social contact between group members. That's a recipe for disaster. I've seen it before."
"I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to step over the line. I didn't know there was a line." He nodded and waved his delicate fingers at her.
"Don't worry, it's fine. Wendy has an attitude. That's all it is. It can be intimidating at first, but I assure you it is a safe environment. I want you to feel comfortable sharing your thoughts and feelings.
Amanda nodded and smiled at him. He smiled back.
So, is there something in particular you wanted to talk about?
He asked.
You sounded as if you were in a really bad place.
Yeah, I just feel very foolish. I know the group could be good for me, but it's windy. Amanda paused, thought for a moment before finishing her sentence. Matt wiped his glasses on his shirt, then put them on and leaned forward. He steepled his fingers, elbows on the table, head slightly cocked to one side.
Well,
he said. No choice. She didn't have time to mess around. Amanda came straight out with it. Wendy told me her real name was Naomi. She searched Matt's face, gauging his reaction. His eyebrows lifted just for half a second. He was a little surprised, but was he surprised that Wendy had shared her real name, or that she'd given a false one? Amanda couldn't quite tell. She said, I don't think that's her real name either. I don't like being played for a fool. My little girl and my husband were taken from me. Anyone who would use that to exploit me shouldn't be in a group with others where they can do real damage. I don't trust her. He sat back, raised his hands as if in surrender.
Look, I don't know exactly what went on between you two. Anything that happens outside of group isn't really my concern. I can't control that. But if it starts to affect what happens in my sessions, then I will have to do something about it.
So, what can you do?
Can you tell me what happened?
It's kind of personal, you know? I just need to know she's on the level. If not, I might need another group. Could you talk to her?
Sure. I'll call her and see what she has to say,
said Matt.
When?
Asked Amanda. Matt paused, said,
When will I call her?
He smiled, laughed nervously, then said,
I suppose I'll call her after we finish talking.
Like, right away? Couldn't you call her now?
I don't have her. I mean, my files are in the trunk of my car,
he said, gesturing over his shoulder with his thumb.
I lead groups all over the city, so it's easier just to keep the records in the car. I'll call her when we're done here, I promise.
The waitress arrived with his sandwich, and Matt unfolded his napkin, placed it on the table, looked around and said,
I'm just going to the bathroom. Back in a sec.
Amanda took a sip of coffee while she worked out her next move. She knew what it had to be. It made her more than a little uncomfortable, but there was no choice. That clock was ticking. The bathroom was in the basement, like a lot of restaurants in the city. Matt disappeared through a door labeled restrooms, and Amanda got up, walked round to Matt's side of the table, and picked up his jacket. She heard the rattle of keys, fished in his pocket, and found a large bunch of them on several interlocking key rings. Attached to the bunch was a key fob for a BMW. Across from her was a guy in a business suit with an iPad propped up on the table.
Excuse me, I have to go outside and make a call. Would you mind watching our table for a moment? My friend is in the bathroom.
No problem, said the man.
Amanda thanked him, jogged to the door, and was soon out on the street, walking as fast as she could in the direction Matt had approached the deli. There were no lots around this area, at least none that she could think of. A line of parked cars stretched along the sidewalk. The last car at the end of the block was a silver BMW. She hit the fob. The lights flashed. Amanda opened the trunk. Inside were three boxes containing neat rows of folders. The boxes were labeled according to the type of counseling: couples, addiction, parental trauma. Amanda pulled the last box and started going through it. Within it, she saw her file, Jane, thin and new. Her fingers walked through the tops of the files, separating them fast so she could see the names on each file. There it was, Wendy. She lifted it, flicked it open. She bypassed Matt's notes on the file. She didn't rate him as any kind of therapist, and his insights wouldn't amount to much. She remembered that when she had joined the group, Matt had taken a Xerox of her driver's license for the file. She turned the pages, found Wendy's. Naomi Cotton. It had a date of birth and an address. Same address as the abandoned apartment. Shit. She took a picture of it on her phone. She looked through the rest of the file, disappointed, still hoping she might get something worthwhile. Looked like Naomi had joined the group 2 weeks before Amanda. There was a phone number on the file, handwritten on the side, but it was the same number for the burner phone, the one that Naomi had no doubt discarded. She had been hoping that Naomi's real name would be there. She was sure Naomi Cotton was a false name, and that this was a false ID. If it was, it was good, very good. She closed the file, put it back in the box, then slammed the trunk shut. By the time she got back to her table, Matt was already there. Her knee was burning with the effort. She put the keys in her coat pocket, took her seat, and mouthed a thank you to the guy in the suit.
"Everything okay?" asked Matt.
"Fine, sorry. I had to call my bank, problems with my card. I haven't been working since." Matt nodded, said,
"Don't worry, this is on me."
They talked little after that, Amanda making polite comments as Matt led the conversation to the healing properties of exercise, meditation, and yoga. He paid the bill, stood up, and grabbed his coat. Just as the coat moved, Amanda tossed his keys under the table. Matt looked down, saw them, and picked them up without question, probably thinking they'd just fallen out of his pocket. She thanked him, and he said he would get back to her once he'd got in touch with Wendy. Amanda left the deli, headed for the subway, and was glad to have some time to think. She had come up short, but in some ways, she knew more about Naomi now than before. She knew Naomi was a false name, that she expected someone to try to trace her through the group, that she had only attended the sessions after Amanda had been sentenced to probation and assigned to that particular group. And Amanda knew Naomi was smart, maybe with money behind her to get a false ID that good, and she was careful. She also had the criminal contacts to get a false ID. Naomi was perhaps more dangerous than Amanda had realized. She turned the corner, headed downstairs into the Manhattan subway system. She liked to ride the train sometimes. It helped her think. She swiped her MTA card, took the train for downtown, got on and found a seat. As the doors closed, Amanda already knew her next move. It was the only play she had left. The only question was, whether there was still time. Maybe Quinn was awake already, maybe giving a description of Amanda to the cops right now. She had to find out the truth before she wound up behind bars. She had to find out who Naomi was and why this had happened. She'd almost killed a man for her, maybe a good man, maybe an ex-husband, maybe a loan shark, maybe a blackmailer, maybe a relative. The only thing Amanda knew for certain was that she had to know why she'd been manipulated into attacking the man Naomi called Quinn. She would need to tell a story in court. But more than that, she wanted to know for herself. The thought that she might have attacked a totally innocent person made her feel sick. She had to know, for better or for worse. She had to take this risk. And it had to be done tonight.